Okay, let's unpack this. There's this huge conversation happening right now, isn't there, about work?
Oh, definitely. Back to the office, stay remote, hybrid. It's everywhere.
Right. And companies are making headlines, mandating people come back. We saw that KPMG study you mentioned.
Yeah, the one saying, what was it, 83% of CEOs expecting a full return to the office within 3 years?
Exactly. And that's a massive jump just from last year.
It really is.
Right.
But, and this is the interesting part.
Go on.
Well, the material we're digging into today, it makes this really powerful counter-argument.
Okay.
It basically suggests that companies that are actually embracing hybrid global workforces, they're not just being flexible, they're gaining a serious competitive edge.
Ah, okay. So that's our mission for this deep dive then, to really get into this article, the competitive edge of a global workforce.
Precisely. We want to understand why. Why is this global, flexible way of working being framed as, well, more than just a perk?
Like a core advantage.
Exactly, a core competitive advantage. So we'll look at the benefits they mention, the challenges, the practical side of making it work, all based on what this source is saying.
Makes sense. And one of the first things that jumps out is the employee angle, right?
Absolutely. The studies mentioned in the article, they confirm what honestly a lot of us feel. People report being more productive, happier too, when they have that flexibility over where they work.
Yeah, that feels intuitive. And it seems like it goes beyond just individuals feeling good.
It does. The source points out that hiring internationally helps build workforces that are, well, more resilient for one thing.
Resilient how?
Think different markets, different perspectives, and also more diverse. You get richer problem solving, different ideas coming in from all those backgrounds.
Okay, but what really changed to make this so, I guess, possible now on a big scale?
Well, the article really points to the pandemic. It argues that it basically proved what maybe some leaders suspected.
Which was?
That, a lot of jobs just don't need you chained to one specific desk, one location.
Right, so the argument is clear. Your next superstar hire doesn't have to live nearby.
Exactly. If the absolute best person for the job is in, I don't know, Bulgaria, Botswana, or Bolivia, like the article says.
It's now easier than ever to actually hire them.
Yes. And companies that still let geography be the main barrier, they're just limiting their own access to the best people unnecessarily.
So if you step back, look at the bigger picture. Widening that talent pool globally, the benefits sound pretty huge.
Oh, they are, according to the source.
Yeah.
Your candidate pool just explodes exponentially.
Which means you can fill roles faster, probably.
Often, yeah. And it naturally diversifies your teams, bringing in all those different viewpoints we talked about. Plus, you can tap into talent that might be super scarce or maybe just way more expensive in your local market.
And it's not just hiring new people globally, is it?
Good point. The article also mentions sending your existing staff on assignments to new places.
International assignments.
Yeah, and it suggests that that's also become much simpler now. It's not the massive, complex headache it used to be, especially if you partner up with the right experts.
Okay, but let's be real. It can't be all smooth sailing. There must be challenges.
Oh, absolutely. And the article is very upfront about that. It's tough. You're dealing with constantly changing global regulations.
Like employment laws.
Exactly. Employment laws, tricky tax requirements, figuring out payroll across, dozens of countries potentially. It's a lot for internal teams to handle.
Right, I can see that being overwhelming. So, given those hurdles, what's the solution presented? How do companies actually do this?
The source points pretty strongly towards one key thing: engaging a global payroll partner.
Okay, tell me more about that. What do these partners actually do?
Well, what's powerful is how they tackle those specific headaches we just mentioned. They handle the compliance side across all those different places.
So, keeping track of the rules.
Yes, and automating payments, managing employee benefits, which vary wildly region to region, and just generally staying on top of all those local regulations.
Which must free up internal teams quite a bit.
Massively. Your HR, your payroll folks, they can then focus on the really important stuff like building a strong company culture, that works wherever your people are.
Now, it's probably worth clarifying, and I think the article does this. This isn't necessarily about everyone being 100% remote all the time, is it?
Not at all. No, that's a key point. Most industries, they still have jobs that genuinely need someone on site. You can't do everything remotely.
So it's more about flexibility.
Exactly. The emphasis is on building flexible hybrid staffing models. The real goal isn't just remote work for everyone. It's about optimizing.
Optimizing for what?
For talent, mainly. Giving employees the flexibility to work where they feel most productive while still hitting those crucial business goals. It's about getting the best people and the best results, not just checking who's physically present.
So that might look like, say, a main office, but with remote experts dialed in from different parts of the world.
Precisely. Or strategic hubs, or project-based teams that form and reform globally.
Yeah.
It's about the model being flexible.
Okay, so let's say a company buys into this. They see the competitive edge. What are the first practical steps the article suggests?
It lays out a couple of really crucial starting points. The first one is basically an internal assessment.
Looking at their own roles.
Yeah. Which jobs really need someone physically there? Which ones could be done effectively from anywhere, assuming you have the right tech and support?
Yeah, there's something else.
Yes, and this is maybe the harder part. Identifying the legacy thinking that might be holding the company back.
Legacy thinking. What do you mean by that here?
Well, it's often that deep-seated belief,
you know,
that productivity means someone you can see at a desk, or that managing people is impossible unless they're physically present.
The butts and seats mentality.
Exactly. Challenging that is absolutely key if you want to unlock this global talent potential. The source also mentions evaluating needs for global growth, how that impacts the bottom line.
Right. Okay, so you do that internal assessment, challenge the old ways. What's the next practical step, according to the article?
It strongly recommends engaging that global payroll partner we talked about and doing it early in the process.
Why early?
Because getting that partnership set up from the get-go helps you get up to speed quickly. You establish compliant processes right away.
So it reduces risk.
Significantly.
Really?
Especially as you start onboarding people in new countries. It makes the whole compliance piece manageable. Oh, and the article also mentions a specific tool for, say, shorter term needs.
Like testing a new market.
Yeah, exactly. Something called an employer of record or EOR solution.
Okay, interesting. So wrapping things up a bit, how does the article see the future of work playing out?
Its view is pretty clear, I think. It sees work becoming more distributed, definitely more diverse, and ultimately driven by results, by outcomes, not by how much time someone spends at a specific desk.
And the big takeaway, the conclusion seems to be
that if you really want to attract the very best talent out there and stay truly competitive, companies just have to be willing to meet the workforce where they are.
Wherever they are might be.
Exactly. And this whole approach, it's framed not just as, you know, a nice thing to offer,
but as that competitive advantage.
Yes, a distinct competitive advantage. And it highlights this, especially for mid-sized firms, maybe those looking to scale up quickly and effectively.
Okay, so let's quickly recap the core idea we've built from the source today. Despite this big push we see for returning to the office, this article makes a really compelling case that going for a hybrid global workforce model, provided you have the right support, like those partners.
Right.
It offers some serious advantages. Finding talent faster, building more resilience, boosting diversity, being more agile.
It really frames workforce mobility.
Yeah.
That ability to hire and work anywhere, not as just a perk anymore, but as a key part of staying competitive.
Definitely food for thought. So turning this back to you, the listener, and thinking about what we've discussed directly from the article's perspective, it suggests this mobility is a competitive edge, especially for those mid-sized companies. So thinking about your own situation or your organization, what aspect of actually adopting a model like this distributed, diverse workforce, what feels like the biggest hurdle? Is it assessing the roles? Is it challenging that legacy thinking we talked about? Something else entirely, something to mull over.